other half of Jesus transitioning. And it's number 290 in our hymnals. It's not one that we've sung before, I don't believe, and so Art will help us, and I will sing it through once, and then please come in. We'll do so I'll sing the first verse, and then we'll start again on the first verse and sing the second verse.
Let's come before God in prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we've already been talking about being in transition with the kids, and Travis talked about it. But I'd like to give a little chance for the rest of you to weigh in a little bit. I want to know what the transitions that are happening in your world are. Perhaps you're in the middle of a transition. Perhaps you've just come through a transition. Perhaps there's something looming on the horizon. And I just want to take a few minutes to let you share with all of us where you are in transition. Saying, you know, we just went up yesterday to celebrate with my sister, whose last day of school was on Friday. She has transitioned very happily into her retirement. And so that is one thing that is happening. Where are the transitions in your lives? Could be anything. Kids are out of school. I know we've done that with the kids.
I think most of you knew that I've been under hospice care for about a year. But the doctor this week just released me, so we're out of that program, and we're thankful for that.
And that is a pretty amazing transition. We are so grateful. Others?
I am still amazed at my new best friend, my machine that helps me go everywhere. And it wouldn't have been possible without my family here. So, to me, that's a big transition, a big one.
That was a transition from being caught at home and unable to go anywhere to being free to move. We are grateful for that. Other transitions, Claire.
We've had a number of transitions at the library over in Littleton over the last 6 months. Personally, I transitioned from a part-time assistant to full-time librarian, and then shortly thereafter, my supervisor, who'd been with the library for 44 years, retired. And she has kind of been the heart and soul of the library, so we're all kind of figuring out what the next steps are and what our mission will look like going forward and how we can continue to serve the community. So it's an ongoing transition for all of us.
Transitions at work are hard, especially when it's somebody you have loved and known.
Speaking of work transitions, I work at First Mennonite Church, and you probably all know they're going through a lot of transition in that Vern Rempel retired, I think it's a couple of years ago now. I mean, not retired, he moved on. And recently, the other two pastors have resigned as well. So that means a lot of changes in the office for me, and hopefully some wisdom in how to handle all that. And I ask for your prayers, I think Betsy probably has already, that they will all have wisdom in moving forward, and I think it will be good.
Well, in our house, there's a big transition that we're on the cusp of. Sammy, in the last couple days, has been taking a couple steps, walking between me and Ellen, or trying to catch the cats. And so, you know, we've been thinking, oh, man, he's going to walk any time now. But now it seems like it's getting even closer, and that'll be a big transition for all of us.
Yeah. Oh, it's a fun transition. Growing transition, Connie.
Well, I guess my transition is still in my head, so I don't know if I'll do anything. I have started looking at some other property, some townhouses or something, but I want to stay in Lakewood, and I just don't know what to do. I don't know whether to stay where I am or buy something else, and so I guess I would ask for prayers on that too, that I would make the right decision.
Well, it's the hard place of transition right there. The hard, hard place. Anybody else? We welcome Rose Marie, who is here from Oregon.
I am the pastor at Eugene Mennonite Church, and I was a member of this congregation for about 35 years, for those who do not know me, and I consider you all my calling, sending church, so thank you so much for your support. Here for the weekend, and very good group of 20 or 15 or so people in Eugene worshiping this morning. I told them that next April will be my last day there, and so I'm trying to figure out what that means for me next. I'm not sure if that means I want to get another position, or if I want to retire, if we're going to stay out there, if we're going to move somewhere else, and so everything's quite up in the air at this moment. Appreciate prayers. They are also in their process of trying to decide what's next, and they decided last month that they're going to have another pastor search, half-time position. So if anybody wants to, knows anybody who, Betsy, I'm going to say one of the best churches you could ever possibly want to pastor in your whole entire lives, send them our way. But it's a prayer for all of us. Thank you.
Any other transitions anybody wants to talk about? There are a lot, you can see already in our congregation and all of us, in all our lives, transitions keep going. And as we already saw, our biblical passages this morning are all about transition. In John, in that prayer, before he says that prayer, Jesus has been talking with his disciples about what's coming, about what he and they will have to go through. And it's not easy stuff for them to hear. As we pick up the story, Jesus turns his eyes to heaven and brings God into the picture. He begins to pray, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you." And in his prayer, he appeals to God on behalf of his disciples. "And now I am no longer in the world," he prays, "but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." In the midst of a very confusing and upsetting time of transition, Jesus draws the disciples into his ongoing relationship with God. Jesus reminds them that they, as well as he, are and always will be in God's care. In their presence, within their hearing, Jesus entrusts their as yet unknown future to God. Well, a lot happens between that prayer and where we pick up the story next at the beginning of Acts. Betrayal, torture, pain, death, burial, despair. And then, oh, happy surprise, the resurrection. Talk about an unexpected transition or outcome to a transition. According to Acts, for 40 days following his resurrection, Jesus appears to his disciples, teaching them and giving them instructions. You can imagine that they assume that this will be the new status quo, that Jesus will just keep hanging out with them in his new altered state. But that's not in the cards. And once again, they have to let go. And once again, they are facing the unknown. Once again, they find themselves in a most disconcerting time of transition. Tori Dirksen, one of the pastors at First Mennonite Church of Denver, made an observation which intrigues me. "Recently, I have found value in reflecting on the ascension of Jesus," he says. "Why did Jesus leave at the height of his power? Why did he, at this particular point, quit the scene and leave everything to his disciples?" Well, he left, it seems, because it was time for a leadership transition. It was time for the disciples, who are now called apostles in Acts, those who are sent, it is time for these apostles to take their God relationship to a different level and move out into the world. It was time for them to get directly connected with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus knew that in order for this to happen, he had to get physically, though not spiritually, out of the way. And so the last words are said, the last instructions are given, the last blessings received, and then Jesus is gone. He is lifted up. He was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Can't you just imagine what they must have felt like? The apostles left standing with arms raised, wanting so desperately to hold on to what was disappearing, wanting so badly for this not to be true. But it is true, and Jesus is gone. Now what do? They wait. This is one of the most difficult parts of transitions, kind of like what Connie was saying. You have to wait, the waiting. Waiting in such a situation involves uncertainty and urgency, and these things do not go comfortably together. The apostles do have some idea of what the next step should be. Jesus has ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. what that means, however, they are not all really sure. But they do know that they need to stick together, and they need to pray. This is what they saw Jesus do. He modeled for them a relationship with God that they will need. They have learned that their life as a community rests in and depends upon God's care. Though surely still full of anxiety and that awful restlessness that seems to be part and parcel of waiting for something of crucial importance, of being in limbo, they enter into God's presence. They gather together and devote themselves to prayer. Our denomination, Mennonite Church USA, is in a time of transition, a time filled with anxiety, restlessness, and uncertainty. It's not clear what the future will be. Some folks have left and others are threatening to leave. Those of us who are staying are not sure to handle the differences among us. Decisions have to be made, directions set. How do we proceed and how should we proceed and where is the Holy Spirit leading us? This summer at the Mennonite USA convention in Orlando, Florida, we will be spending some very intentional time thinking about this. Glenn Guyton, Chief Operating Officer of Mennonite Church USA, has been very involved in planning for the future church summit, which will be the focus of the work of the delegates at convention. And this is being a stressful experience for him. In fact, it's making him cranky. This was obvious from his blog post on May 18. Since the beginning of the planning process for the church, for future church summit, Glenn writes, there has been a sense of distrust from some of those that are part of this body. The so-called progressives might as well be quoting the lyrics of Black Sabbath's War Pigs. To some in that group, the image of the institution is generals gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses, evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerers of death's construction. Some of the so-called conservatives are walking around in fear, questioning the integrity of the process and wondering if this new process is basically going to make Mennonite Church USA too gay and too dark. Well, Glenn, that's laying it on the line. He doesn't mince any words, does he? I have to believe those voices are the minority of the voices in this church, Glenn goes on to say. If all we have left are political polarizations and bureaucratic rhetoric, then we should vote to shut the doors when the delegate assembly convenes in Orlando. But surely that's not the case. Surely there is hope if we trust the Holy Spirit to lead us. This is God's church after all. Glenn invites everyone, encourages everyone, whether on the left or on the right or in the middle, to enter this transitional time with open hearts and minds. Sitting down, talking to each other face to face at the future church summit is definitely a more Anabaptist and a more Christian way of dealing with conflict than trading barbs on social media and talking about the other when they are not in the room, he says. Together, we will have an especially important role to play in forging the future of the church. Those of us who believe that God has a mission for this church need to live into it and stop seeing giants at every turn like the scouts in Canaan. We have to leave the Egypt of our despair and walk into a place of blessing and promise. Yes, that will take work. We may lose people. We may need to change things. We may need to revitalize some old traditions or create new ones. We may need to do some healing, but that will only happen if we work together and share in the vision of what is possible. I want this process to succeed, Glenn says, and I believe that the majority of the people coming to be a part of it still have hope for the work of Mennonite Church USA and hope in Christ, who in his last days prayed, Father, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them so that they may be one, so as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Those last are the words from John 17, 20 to 23, which are, just follow the passage that Travis read for us earlier. Father, may they be one as we are one. Claire Franz and Jeff Bongtrager and I are all delegates to the Mennonite Church Convention in Orlando in July. We will be part of this Transitional Future Church Summit. So will you, Duncan, right? You'll be there. No good. Yeah, and maybe Barry too. I don't know. Yeah. So please hold us and this whole summit in your prayers. Well, as we all know, being in transition is difficult. It can bring out the worst in us, but it can also bring out the best. It can bring out the best if we enter into it trusting that God is with us and will guide us. Waiting on the Lord to act, waiting for a direction to be revealed, is not a passive inactivity. It involves prayer and study of the scriptures. It means listening to the Spirit's leading and to each other. It means seeking counsel and being open to the unexpected. It means entrusting our future, whether it be short-term or long-term, to God and resting in the promise that in Jesus we are one. It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, Jesus told the apostles. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We trust and we wait. Amen.
For our hymn of response, please turn again in your blue hymnals to number 553. I am weak and I need thy strength. If you're able, please stand.